Welcome, fellow Biblical Explorer. We're continuing our study into the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, and we're in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 21 to 33 will be the text for our study today. Studies in the riches of His grace. In our last study together, we looked at walking in wisdom. The Apostle Paul instructed us on the great topic of wisdom, and we discovered that there were a number of ways in which he instructed us on that topic. Making the most of every opportunity in chapter 5, verse 16. Understanding what the Lord's will is in chapter 5, verse 17. Then being filled with the Spirit in verse 18. Expressing the Spirit's joy in verses 19 and 20, and then submitting to one another in verse 21. Well, today's topic of study is that word submission. What an ugly word to use to start off a Bible study. Yeek. However, this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in this passage of Scripture. And today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. So if you have your Bible, or your Bible app on your electronic devices, then turn to Ephesians 5, 21 to 33, and let's read it together. Today I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. It says this, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Now, as I said before, that's a pretty ugly word to start off a Bible study. Submission. Yeesh. However, this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in this passage of Scripture. I like what Warren Wiersbe said in his book, Be Rich. The chapter that deals with this portion of Scripture he has entitled, Heaven in Your Home. This is, I believe, what Paul is trying to get across to us. The idea of unity, good, solid Christian unity within the Christian church and within the home as well. This idea of unity would serve us well in this day and age, for these verses have become the center of controversy in very recent years. Women's rights activists have seen a hidden menace to womanhood, while traditionalists have quoted them and attempted to keep women in their place. Now, this tug of war has become the center of attention and has taken away the true meaning of this passage. Now, let's break down this passage of Scripture as follows. We're looking at chapter 5 of Ephesians, starting to read at verse 21 to verse 33. Now, the first caption could be called, The Controlling Word, verse 21. The second caption could read, God's Word to Wives, verses 22 to 24. The third one could read God's Word to Husbands, verses 25 to 31. Then there's an important interruption, verses 26 and 27, and a second look, verses 32 and 33. Well, let's look back to verse 21, the controlling word. That controlling word is submit. We've come back to that word again. Submit literally means to be under in rank. It is a military word which speaks of the way that an army is organized among levels of rank. You see, you have generals and colonels and majors, captains, sergeants, and privates. There are levels of rank, and you are obligated to respect those in a higher rank. Now, we know that as a person, a private can be smarter, more talented, and a better person than a general, but he is still under the rank to that general. He isn't submitted to the general so much as a person as he is to the general as a general. The idea of submission doesn't have anything to do with someone else being smarter or better or more talented. It has to do with God-appointed order. Warren Wiersbe says, anyone who has served in the armed forces knows that rank has to do with order and authority, not with value or ability. We also see from this how important it is to be under rank in the military. Well, they have a name for it when you are no longer want to be under rank. They call it mutiny. Just as an army would be in confusion if there were no levels of authority, so society would be in chaos without submission, so says Wiersbe. David Guzuk says, Paul means that we should take this under rank attitude of the military and apply it to our everyday dealings with each other. When a man joins the military, the first thing he does is strip away his individuality. He is now a member of a company or a battalion. He is no longer an individual. When you join the army, you essentially sign away your right to decide what you want to do with your life and your time. An army is filled with individuals, but they can never be individualistic. That is the first thing a man is broken of when he joins the army. The commentator Clark says it this way, let no man be so tenacious of his own will or his opinion in matters indifferent as to disturb the peace of the church. In all such matters, give way to each other and let love rule. In a practical action, submitting to one another implies the following, all in line with the idea of being a team player. As I said in the last study together, O fellow biblical explorer, the Christian must not be thoughtless, but he must think of others. The Christian must not be individualistic, must not be self-assertive. Self-assertion is the very antithesis of what the Apostle Paul is saying, according to Lloyd-Jones. The Christian must never be self-seeking. We must all have a team attitude. We must be happy when someone succeeds and does well. We must bear our own discomforts and trials with courage. And we have to do this all in the fear of God. You see, this is an important point because Paul repeats the idea all through the extended section speaking about submission, and that's what we're looking at today. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. The words in the fear of God described what should be our motive for submitting to one another. We should submit to one another, see ourselves no longer in an individualistic way, but as a unit, as a company, as a battalion, and out of respect for God the Father, respect for Jesus Christ. The motive for submission is not social kindness. The motive for submission is not the law of God. The motive for submission is respect for Jesus Christ. And if we respect Jesus, we should then submit to one another because we love Jesus. Paul uses the term fear in this passage, but it is a fear, a respect, that is compatible with love. It is a fear of disappointing Jesus, a fear of grieving him, that is totally compatible with love. When you really respect someone, you care about pleasing him or her, and you are afraid to disappoint that loved one. And now we get down to the brass tacks, the controversial part of this passage. The Spirit-filled life, submission, and responsibility in marriage. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the danger is that we should think of marriage amongst Christians as essentially the same as it is with everybody else. The only difference being that these two people happen to be Christians, whereas the others are not. Now, if that is still our conception of marriage, then we have considered this great paragraph entirely in vain. Christian marriage, the Christian view of marriage, is something that is essentially different from all views. So we go on to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, and walking in the light means wives submit to their husbands. Well, Paul addresses wives and their responsibility in the Christian marriage first. This isn't because they are the bigger problem or because they need special attention. The reason is that the apostle was particularly concerned about the question of submission. That was the principle that he introduced in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. The aspect of submission has a particular application to wives in a Christian marriage. The Apostle Paul uses the same logic when he teaches us in Ephesians 6. Children are addressed before parents because Paul is primarily concerned about submission. Slaves are addressed before their masters because the apostle was primarily concerned about submission. There is no question that the apostle is continuing the thought from Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. In many of the best ancient Greek manuscripts, Ephesians 5 and 22 doesn't even have the word submit. It simply reads, "Wives, to your husbands." The topic is submission, and Paul focused on that particularly important realm of submission, the Christian marriage, from the wife unto the husband. It's as if Paul said this, "I commanded you to submit to one another in a very general way. Now, if you do in a general way, how much more should wives do it to their own husbands in this special relationship of marriage?" David Guzik goes on to say, "Wives, submit. To submit means that you recognize someone has a legitimate authority over you. It means you recognize that there is an order of authority and that you are part of a unit, a team. You as an individual are not more important than the working of the unit or that team. You see, when we submit to God, we recognize God's authority and act accordingly. When we submit to the police, we recognize the authority of the police and act accordingly. When we submit to our employer, well, we recognize the authority of our employer and we act accordingly, or there's no raise." Submission does not mean inferiority, no. As well, submission does not mean silence, no. Submission means submission. There is a mission for the Christian marriage, and that mission is obeying and glorifying God. The wife says, "I'm going to put myself under that mission. That mission is more important than my individual desires. I'm not putting myself below my husband. I am putting myself below the mission of God and the mission God has for our marriage and for my life." Now, the sphere of a wife's submission is to her husband. The Bible never commands a general submission of women unto men in society. This order is commanded only in the spheres of the home and in the church. God has not commanded in His Word that men has exclusive authority in the area of politics, business, education, and so forth. Now, the crucial phrase here is, "as to the Lord." This colors everything else we understand about this passage. There have been two main wrong interpretations of this phrase, each favoring a certain position. The wrong interpretation that the interpretation is that it favors the husband, saying that "as to the Lord" means that a wife should submit to her husband as if he were God himself. That's totally wrong. The idea is you submit to God in absolutely everything without question, so you must submit to your husband in the same absolute way. This interpretation believes that the words "as to the Lord" defines the extent of the submission. This is wrong. It's true that the wife owes the husband a great deal of respect. Remember Sarah, the wife of Abraham? She called Abraham Lord. That doesn't mean Lord as in the sense of God, but Lord in the sense of respect. That is a lot of respect. Yet still, it doesn't go as far as to say, "you submit completely to God, so you must submit to your husband the same way." No, simply put, in no place does the Scripture say that a person should submit to another in that way. There are limits to the submission your employer can expect of you. There are limits to the submission the government can expect of you. There are limits to the submission parents can expect of children. In no place does the Scripture teach an unqualified, without exception, submission, except to God and God alone. And to violate this is to commit the sin of idolatry. A wrong interpretation that favors the wife says that "as to the Lord" means I'll submit to him as long as he does what the Lord wants. Then the wife often thinks it's her job to decide what the Lord wants. This interpretation thinks that "as to the Lord" defines the limit of submission. No, this is wrong. It is true that there are limits to a wife's submission, but when the wife approaches "as to the Lord" in that way, it degenerates into a case of "I'll submit to my husband when I agree with him. I'll submit to him when he makes the right decisions and carries them out in the right way. When he makes a wrong decision, he isn't in the Lord, so I shouldn't submit to him." This is not submission at all. Now, except for those who are plainly cantankerous and just argumentative, everyone submits to others when they are in agreement. It is only when there's disagreement that submission is tested. The phrase, as to the Lord, does not define the extent of a wife's submission or the limit of a wife's submission. It defines the motive of a wife's submission. We look back at the 21st verse of this portion of Scripture, and we see that every Christian has to submit. The area of submission for the Christian is submission over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, first of all. The second area of this submission is submitting to each other out of reverence for God. We look at verse 22, and we see the idea of this submission coming into the home. Every personal relationship has some element of submission in it. I like what Warren Wiersbe says, submission has nothing to do with the order of authority, but rather governs the operation of authority, how it is given, and how it is received. Each and every one of us has an ego. By our very nature, we want to promote ourselves. The Holy Spirit, however, enables us to submit ourselves. We are to esteem others more important than ourselves, Philippians 2, 1-4, and then Romans 12, verse 10. I believe this is why the Apostle Paul gives us the command to be filled with the Spirit first. When we are filled with the Spirit, we gladly submit to the Lordship of Christ, and we are willing to submit to others. When we study the words found in verse 21 to 25, we find that Paul is not placing the husband as being superior to his wife, no, or the wife as being inferior to her husband. No, Paul is not suggesting either that all women must be in subjection to all men at all times. No. The very fact that Paul uses the church and Christ as models suggests that he has the Christian home in mind. When a Christian wife has submitted herself to Christ, lets him be the Lord of her life and is spirit-filled, she has no difficulty in submitting to her husband. This by no means is slavery, because the Christian husband is also in submission to Christ. If both husband and wife are under the lordship of Christ, there can only be harmony. Headship is not dictatorship. There is a quote that says, "Each for the other, both for the Lord." This is one of the many reasons why a Christian should always marry another Christian. Well, there, fellow biblical explorer, there you have it, God's word to wives. But stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be looking at God's word to husbands. God's word to husbands, as we continue our study into the riches of His grace.